Holy Gospel for today is from Mark's Gospel, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages, teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last few days, our daughter and her husband and the two grandchildren came up to visit. They're teachers, and boys are students, and they've got the summer off, and so we get them. And seeing as how they live down in Texas, this is like our one big shot. Spent time with my brother and his wife who hosted us, and so our daughter and son got to see all their cousins. Their four boys were there, and very exciting. And after we'd eaten, and after we'd gone on a boat ride, and we settled down, and were just gathered around, stories got to be told. And the boys of my brother wanted to hear every embarrassing story about their father that they could possibly hear. My brother's kind of a big deal. Okay? I mean, you would never have heard of him, okay? He doesn't make the news or anything. He's a mechanical engineer, and he worked for a company that made machines, giant machines, that used robot arms to cut metal and to weld metal with lasers. All right? Worked for this company, enjoyed it. The company was bought out. The people that bought him out said, "You know, we're not going to change anything. Culture's going to remain exactly the same, so nobody just start leaving, okay?" And in 6 months, things began to change. And some of it was fine. But the culture of the place became less friendly, less humane, much more businesslike, and a lot less fun. So my brother, with four boys in elementary school, gathered an optical engineer who they needed, an electrical engineer, some guy who could sell the things, and a computer guy from that company, and left to make their own company, a competing company. And I'll tell you, for 5 or 6 years, It was tough to break into the market. Everything that was in his 401k pension plan, whatever he had, went into the company. And it was scary. There was no guarantee that things would go well. They'd hang out at the trade shows, and they were kind of the unknown one. And after about 5 or 6 years, somebody from a company called Medtronic, you might have heard from them, they make all kinds of medical hoo-ha. And a lot of it needs to be super precise, and that means you need a robot arm that cuts and welds with lasers. And they looked at the stuff and made an appointment to see some of the machines and decided to take a chance on this company, and it worked. And then people started saying, well, if Medtronic's taking a look, we should take a look too. And all of a sudden, they became a big company. And he was one of the owners, and he was the president, and they sold them in Germany, and they sold them in India, and he was kind of a big deal. And even though he's younger than I am, he retired a long time before I did because he sold the company. Not that I'm bitter, but I wish him well. The risks he took, he deserves everything he's got. He's brilliant, and he is just humble and helpful. And I could imagine if you were the son of this kind of a person, you would want to know every embarrassing thing he ever did just to get him down to your level a little bit, and we were happy to oblige. No big deal is without an honor, except in his own home and among his own kin, and Jesus was no exception. Earlier in the third chapter of Mark, Jesus has been doing his thing, and he got close to home, and his family showed up because not everybody was liking what this Jesus was saying, and they showed up to take him and drag him back home, because they thought he was a little nuts, a little crazy, a little over the edge. He was kind of getting to be a big deal, but it didn't look good to them. And so they came to get him. And Jesus was a teeny bit harsh. Well, who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? If you believe and trust in what you see and what you hear from me, and you believe that that has a lot to do with what God is really like, you're my family. So he might have been a little predictable that when he got home, he wouldn't have the best reception. They start out being amazed. Wow. Who is this guy? He looks like the guy we know, but where did he get all this wisdom, and what about all these deeds of power? But really, isn't he really just the carpenter? And if he really is just the carpenter, that son of Mary, who we knew when he was a little tot, isn't he being a little big for his britches? And they were offended. And Jesus was astonished at their inability to trust in him, even though they might have known whatever embarrassing moments he had. Well, all right, what do you do if you've sort of taken the hit from people that you know and love the most? Well, if you're Jesus, you take your ministry and go on the road. And then you expand it. Not big enough for me to do it all by myself. So you disciples, pair up. Everyone grab a partner. You are going out and you are going to spread the good news. And here's how it's going to go. You can take your staff, you might need it to protect you, but don't take much else. Okay? Don't take any cash. Leave the credit cards at home, okay? You're going to survive on what other people are going to give you, as humbling as that may be. Leave your luggage at home. Do not bring the cooler with cold beverages and healthy snacks, because whatever people are going to give you, that's what you're going to take. Yes, you can wear sandals. Okay, that's all right. But one tunic is going to be plenty for you. It gets a little stale, that's okay. Because along with this good news of a God who loves and cares for you, and a God who loves and cares you so much that you just might listen and might be inspired to repent, that is, to kind of look at the world differently than you used to look at it, and might think about God differently than you used to think about God. You have to have a little vulnerability. You can't come in like you know everything. You're going to come in humble. You're going to need help from other people. You don't get to be the one who's always given stuff. You're going to have to be ready to receive a little bit. That makes other people feel powerful. And that's kind of what you're here for. To use the good news about Jesus, about God, to make other people powerful, not to just make yourself special. So we don't want the way you do it to mess up the message itself. Because for all the power that Jesus displays, and Mark is all about that. I mean, not much teaching in the Gospel of Mark, but there's all these deeds of power, okay? Power over unclean spirits, power to forgive sins, power over disease, power over demons, even like in last week's Gospel, the power over death. When it comes right down to showing us deep down what is the character of God, it is shown on a cross. Oh, he was able to save other people, they said at the cross, but he does not have the power, is the way it is in the original language, to save himself. Well, maybe he has it. But for us to understand who God really is, in that situation, you don't use it. You don't spend it on yourself. You show that God is absolutely crazy about us, adores us, despite what we know to be true about ourselves. Absolutely is crazy for us. And loves us to death. Not that there's an absence of power, because there is a resurrection. That power over death comes in real handy. And then it's the power to show other people how to give power. Because that's what we do. I mean, even in his hometown, says he didn't have any power to do any major deeds, but he certainly did have the ability and took the opportunity to heal some broken people. Oh, he's always going to heal some broken people, one way or another. He sent out the disciples two by two. He gave them authority over unclean spirits and the ability to make some broken people less broken. And they did. That's what we do too. We do. And like the disciples, we start out as pretty cowardly, pretty, you know, lack of understanding of the whole thing. But an idea of the core. God has given all for us. It's okay for us to give away. It's okay for us to empty us a little bit. You know, for the sake of others. To take our honor, to take the righteousness that Christ has given us through his death and resurrection, and give that to other people. Take the forgiveness we've been given and to start forgiving folks. Which can be really exciting if you maybe haven't had a whole lot of experience being forgiven. That alone can be enough to change how you really, really think about God. So it may take time to do it. That's all right. We learn more. We understand more. We empowered more. That's how it goes. 4th of July today. Exciting time. And it's a time to celebrate the country, America. And we understand that what's in that Declaration of Independence that was written up and distributed on July 4th, 1776, about all people being created equal. Well, actually, they said all men created equal. It took a while to live into that. At the time, they meant all white men who own property. But over time, that was expanded. Oh, it took time. The 15th Amendment in 1870 gave everybody, regardless of their race, the right to vote. That's almost 100 years after the Declaration of Independence. That's a bit of a wait, but we lived into it. We read that, and we understood that there was more there than maybe even people that wrote it thought. The 19th Amendment, 1920. I guess it means women can vote too. All right? I guess it does. We should preach that, you know, when they said all men, they kind of meant everybody. And even if they didn't, we know that that's what we're growing into. Growing into more than maybe they even imagined. 24th Amendment. Nobody is forbidden to vote because they can't afford to pay a poll tax. You know, that shouldn't make a difference. Okay, let's say you're poor, and oh yeah, we know that some poor people didn't have to even pay the poll tax. It was mostly restricted to non-white folk, but that's not right. That's not what we declared our independence for. So we grew into that. The 26th Amendment? Okay. If you're old enough to go in the army, if you're old enough to sign a legal document, you're old enough to vote. So if you're 18, you get to vote. We grew into that one too. And it's something to celebrate. We paid attention. That last one was 1971. 1971, I was 19. I got to vote. It was exciting. Well, we do the same thing with the good news of Jesus Christ. Individually and as churches and as the United Church around the world, we grow into it. Okay to start small, but don't be surprised if you grow into big stuff. We go out because Jesus has sent us. No luggage, no cooler, no cash or credit cards. Okay, so we're still vulnerable. But he hasn't left us alone. He's put us in the midst of people, that two-by-two thing. It's not a solo endeavor. And he has given us the word that we've heard today, the baptism that has initiated us into that grace of God. And here today, bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ. Because sometimes words aren't enough. Sometimes, you know, we're physical people, we got to have something to hang on to, see, smell, taste, to say, you know, this is more real than I thought it was. This is more than just good ideas. In the Word, in the water, in bread and wine is the presence of God, so that we can go out and be those people that speak a good word, and that we can go out having been people that have received a really good word. God, set aside God's power so that we would know that God loves us to death. Amen.